Welcome back. Is everybody having a good time so far? So don't forget to remember about getting all this talent harnessed for the Pocahontas show next fall. The missing Litt Muellers, it turns out they weren't missing. We were just missing a signal from them from yesterday, are here. And we're going to get a beautiful song, and then, JD's and Littleman, it's bite me that the Stabile Caps will have a moon number soon.
Dope. Editor Osama has four But she's got plenty more pooper delegates. So they both pumped to Pennsylvania and tilt Bowers so high that they can pee all the way across Pennsylvania. They put ads on BT. What would they daunt? We want to answer the Ted Relephone. Curiously, Siebel, it's just the Ted Relephone. And who are they going to be gawking about on that Ted Relephone? I don't know, but I'll hell you two does. George Yubbledoo Jush. He's been pooping on Siebel's calls. That's right, Tim and the Wirecraps. And he tells who they're knocking about. Is it some nudist buns? Chat fans. Do you think they're talking about illegal immigrants coming from Mexico down south? Bite me. But I'll bet 500 that they are talking about that mud-thirsty blaniac Obama bin Laden. He's a bastardly dastard. He's worse than Lord Voldemort. He's worse than Fracula, Drankenstein, or the Beast from the Crack Lagoon. One day he was printing city in Afghanistan where our troops charged in. We tried to smash him to blitherings with our T-50 booze. It went into Dirk. And now he's fucking to Snakistan and is no clout danning another attack. And that's why we peed a strong Nesedit. It could help us keep a little soap in our noses. And that is why you need to hollow your farts when you vote out on Tuesday, April 22nd.
Yang Fu Alex. Okay. Jill is going to tell us a story that she's going to read us a story that she wrote herself. I listened to this story at the rehearsal yesterday. I think it's going to strike a chord for most of us. For me, this brought back to mind a worn-out old teddy bear with just one sort of barely attached eye.
This story takes place when my son Scott, who is now in college, was about 3 years old.
We can't hear you. All right.
Is this on?
Yeah, just put it on.
Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. This story takes place when my son Scott, who is now in college, was about 3 years old. I'm sure he would be mortified if he knew I was telling it to you. So those of you who know Scott, this will be our little secret. The story is called A Tale of Two Blankies. My son has had a blankie for as long as we can remember. The blankie started life as a beautiful down crib comforter from one of those upscale catalog stores. It was an extravagant baby gift from friends of Scotty's grandmother. As the firstborn son of a firstborn son, and the only grandchild on the paternal side, he was greeted like manna from heaven. Even though it was August, we put this beautiful down comforter in Scotty's crib the day we got it, and it's been with him ever since. Only now, there is nothing left of it but two faded cotton panels with evenly spaced stitching. There isn't a down feather in sight. Every one of them has come out over the years, in the wash, in the car, on the floor. But it's still blanky to Scotty, and he can't remember when it was any different. Scotty started dragging the comforter behind him at about 18 months. It took me a while to realize that this was going to be a permanent arrangement. He and Blanky were soon inseparable, but I did manage to keep him from taking it to daycare. I told him Blanky needed to guard the house while we were gone. But otherwise, Blanky was there for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Blanky came along to the store and on trips, and Blanky needed to be near at hand in case of a spill, a scrape, or a disagreement. And of course, Blanky was required at bedtime. Scotty was very demanding of my attention from birth, and became even more so after my second son was born. Scotty, then about 3, did not want me to leave the room without informing him. He wanted to be wherever I was, and that included the bathroom. Taking a shower became a real problem. While I vainly tried to relax for a few minutes under the warm water, he would run in and out of the room, always leaving the door wide open, demanding that I come out now. I began to wonder if I would ever be alone in a bathroom again. Finally, I hit upon a solution. Scotty loved to hear stories about my Blanky, Bob. The reason I could tolerate his Blanky was I had one of my own. Ask my mother. She'll go on at great length about it and what a pain it was. Well, I found the way to take a shower without the subarctic winds blowing through the room was to let Scotty sit on a little chair in the bathroom while I related the story of Bob. He would listen while I washed and dried my hair, often asking me to repeat the same thing 3 or 4 times. The idea that Mom had once been little and once had a blanket that she carried around fascinated and delighted him. He loved to hear of how I slept with Bob, ate with Bob, and took Bob for a ride on the swings. He suffered with me when a dog ran away with half of Bob, and when I lost what was left of Bob in a grocery store at age 4. But his favorite story was the washing of Bob. How I hated it when, black around the edges and covered with assorted stains, my mother would put it in the wash in disgust. "How can you carry that thing around?" she would demand. Scotty and I both knew that outward appearances meant little where a blanket is concerned. Well, if Bob was going to go in the wash, then I was going to be right nearby. No fierce dog or other wild beast was going to sneak in and snatch away Bob when no one was looking. The laundry was in the basement of our 2-story flat. Although I was afraid of the basement, which had a big black coal bin in the corner for the furnace, being near Bob was more important. I would wait faithfully by the washer while Bob went through the soak, wash, and spin cycles. "Don't you want to come upstairs for a cookie?" my mother would ask. "You don't want to stay down here alone by that old washer," she would continue in her mother knows best voice. But my gut feeling was to stay nearby in the damp basement and forgo the cookie. Later, when it was time for the dryer, I was much happier. We had an old-fashioned Maytag dryer with a round window in the front. You could watch the clothes going around and around in the swirling heat. Once Bob was in the dryer, I could sit down right in front of it and put my face up to the window and see Bob getting drier and drier, ever nearer to being placed back in my hands. When I finally got the clean Bob back, I knew it was an improvement, but it did seem worth the agony of separation. I have told this story to Scotty many times, although he too dreads being separated from his blanket. And although our washer and dryer are also located in the basement of our Squirrel Hill home, he never wanted to sit there while Blanky was being cleaned. This is fortunate, because in all likelihood, if he had sat there, he would have made me sit in the basement too.
Now a moment that I know we've all been waiting for, especially those of us who saw these guys parading around at the break. The hippie barbers. I have to tell you that I rather doubt that Meredith Wilson saw this coming, but I encourage you to attend and heed the last stanza of this particular number.
For those of you who have wondered how to explain Unitarian Universalism in just a short minute or two, we have the answer to your problem, as Ward says, sung to the tune of Lyda Rose.
If you would like, you may become a Unitarian today. Former Christians, Muslims, or Jews, or even pagans are okay. There's no hell like with lots of religions on earth. God's just swell as a general rule. One or less will do. Though we won't belabor the point, we think that you should act right now. You can leave your dogma behind. We can't agree on ours anyhow. You'll need to like coffee, but no paper cups. Plus, we got bills, so better pay up if you're able. 3% except for students.
I hear an amen. I have to tell you that sitting here reminded me of a story that I heard about a fellow who was poking around at a Unitarian church. He was sort of looking in this corner and looking in that corner, walking up and down the halls. No one could quite figure out what was on his mind. And finally, one of the members of the congregation walked up and said, "Can I help you? Are you looking for something, sir?" And he said, "Yeah, you know, I have been walking all over this church, looking at every place I can. I can't see a single copy of the Ten Commandments." And the congregation member looks at him and says, "Sir, this is a church, not a federal courthouse." I suspect that was one of the Texas congregations. Okay, our next act, our next performer is one of my best buddies from the folk orchestra. Sandy Roman. He also is one of the people that I seriously did a disservice to by failing to mention him when I was talking about the various folks that need special things. Sandy has been working very, very hard on our sound system. He's even acquired for the weekend something very special called Boundary Mics. And they're working because, as you can see, everything is staying within bounds up here. Anyhow, Sandy and his amazing tin guitar. There are words to this piece, I understand, but according to Sandy, they're too nasty, even for you, Eunice.
Also, who wants to sing on top of this? It's too hard. It's whining boy. Thank you.
that was loud. Our next performer has a name that she told me how to correctly pronounce, and that I think I remember, but I'm going to say Shayla. All right, Shayla Collins, accompanied by you know who. And I gotta say, having heard Shayla do this at yesterday's rehearsal, I had no idea we were gonna get something this polished for this show. The bar is going up. Linda Kaufman, who will be performing for us as our next act, she's a sort of a honorary member, I guess, of both the Family Choir and the Folk Orchestra as well. She's the mother of Sandy Roman, and I guess we all can extend her some sympathy on that score. In any event, she's a wonderful pianist, and we're really lucky to have her with us. Thanks, Linda.
Right at the top. And I used to be able to play better than him, but no more.
have some amazingly gifted women singers in our church. And this first trio are all members of the choir. And it's no wonder the choir always sounds so good. Special thanks to Bill Larson, who transcribed the flute music for this piece from a recording that probably had him wincing the entire way through, knowing Bill's music taste as I do.
I want to say this is the second in the series of homage to Bob Schmertz, second annual one. And we're honored to have Jack Schmertz and his wife Marianne in the audience today. Jack, sum that up, Bob, sum. We're not going to do our best, but please don't walk out until we're finished. Our sympathy is your reporting, Dad.
Ha 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 ha! from the vernal equinox. We may continue.
It's spring on the campus this spring. Our ancient professors are now the possessors of springtime. That wonderful thing. It's spring in the dorms and rats. It's spring for the dogs and the cats. It's spring in the beanery, spring in the scenery. See all that greenery, spring. Spring is the right time for springtime. It's never quite right in the fall. It's quite out of place in the summer. And in the winter, it won't do at all. But it's spring and it's time for the spring. May I say that the birds on the wing. Spring on the campus this spring. The Margaret chorus of girls are all chorused, and spring is a time for a fling. It's spring on the campus this spring. Our dear registrar sings tra la 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 la, and he sings it with plenty of swing. It's spring for the Board of Trustees. They've changed to their likely DVDs. The birdies sing tweet by the president's suite. And again, I repeat that it's spring.
Well, sap starts to rise in the springtime. And love starts to burgeon in bloom. That hearts change their tempo in the springtime. I fear we may safely assume. Be it amour toujours in the spring. Who knows what the summer may bring?
It's spring on the campus, it's spring. Shall it hark to the lark, with twelve shall we part with his frills? Better gone, Marcus. It's spring on the campus, it's spring. Who is that blonde dancing light on the lawn with that triad around in her ring? It's our dear teams of women and men.
They think they are 20 again.
It's best be a 20 than the term ends in May, for there's too much AA.
That's about as right as it's ever been for us, I'll tell you right now. We missed some really ragged rehearsals. Speaking of ragged, we have another group that's appeared before here. I assume they're here. I'm looking for crazy hats and stuff, but the much beloved Vintage Pierogies. Coming up once again to set Richard and Oscar spinning in their graves.
About 10 years ago, and we've performed repeatedly at Summer Institute. But I wanted to give you a definition before we started singing, because the song we're singing is about crones. And a crone can be an offensive term, a term that deliberately insults a woman's age, appearance, or temperament. However, there's a new meaning of that word. It's a woman over 50, a woman of age, wisdom, and power. Thank you.
In short, my wife.
Shrimps and rice, the very nice. Oh. very nice fit.
Our next performer, Alex Milashenko, I explained last year, became a sort of a hanger-on with the folk orchestra. He's had to take some time off because he's been so busy, but we picked him up in a bar in Bloomfield when we did a performance there as the opening act for Emily Pinkerton. Alex is a man of many talents, and one of his talents is guitar building. He's a luthier, nonpareil. He is playing a 12-string guitar that he built in his undisciplined youth, which we all know lovingly as the BMF.
Show business terms, I wouldn't want to give this spot to a lover. This is Jesus, Joy, Man's Desire, arranged for 12-string by Neil Cotton.
Thank you.
Well, I was about to say, if you watch closely, you'll see that there's a common denominator in a lot of the closing acts. Jeannie Herbert, who has now become once again a mandolinista. But I see they've added E.B. Emmonsapp on flute. In any event, this is a quartet now that's rooted in the folk orchestra, doing Closer to Fine, the Indigo Girls number.
I'm not a girl.
Take my life like seriously, so we lie.
that doesn't convince you to join the folk orchestra, we're going to have to start going after people's kneecaps. I am going to burden you with one more tale of with quasi-religious overtones. This is not about a Unitarian. As I first heard this story, it was about, well, it was full of non-PC type of designations of the main player. Let me just say, this is a story about a very devout bibulous deist. And this bibulous deist was driving one day through town. He was late for a meeting. He was desperately trying to find a parking space, and he looked up into the heavens and he said, "Lord, Lord, if you'll just give me a parking space, I'll give up drinking forever. And I'll come to Mass every Sunday." And just that moment, a parking space appears right next to him. He quickly flicks his head heavenward and he says, "Never mind, I found one." Okay. That's it, folks. That's it for this year. Got some good material for next year. Just let me know. I'm starting to really exhaust the internet. Okay, our next act. Once again, is Gene? Get out there, Gene. Good Lord. Good, just let these people go. Let this trio turn into a duet. There's a familiar face here, you may have noticed. A couple of familiar faces, anyway. So, Jeannie, Serena, and Anne are going to play "I'll Fly Away" for us. Thank you.
include one of our most gifted musicians, DJ Moncato, who will be bringing us some, as I see it in my program, timeless piano moves. Over to you, DJ.
Thank you.
performed here tonight. Please stand. I bet you it's most of the audience anyway, so let's see what happens. Let's begin. I do have a couple of announcements before we go to the potluck. This announcement is sort of in the, again, from the Sunday Celebrations Committee, and is sort of in the form of a cautionary tale about a service that was being held in one of our older, more uncomfortable, pine plank, hardback pewed New England churches. And throughout the service, there was a visitor who had been sitting in the back yelling, "Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Huzzah!" and such like things. And one of the ushers finally came over and said, Sir, this is a Unitarian church. You can't behave this way." And he said, "What do you mean I can't behave this way? I got religion." And the usher says, "Well, you certainly didn't get it here." Tomorrow is Sunday morning, use your discretion. Finally, I do want to tell you that many thanks to all of you who are here, who paid to come, to enter as an act. I'm back. I am told that this event has raised over $650 for our music program. Let's see.